Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go.
Hey, Enchilada Nation, really excited about spending some time with you today. And again, as always, thank you for sharing some of your day with me today. I have another incredible guest on the show today. And not only is it someone that you may know the name already, if you're an avid reader like I am, or you're constantly following top entrepreneurs, but it's also a good friend of mine. Richie and I actually lived in the same neighborhood for a while, and that's where we initially got connected, and our relationship has grown, and I've been able just to watch his growth and his impact on the world. But Richie Norton is a best-selling author. You know when you read a book that you know exactly where you were when you read the book? I remember exactly where I was, what I was thinking, what problems I was facing when the first time I read The Power of Starting Something Stupid, which is one of your books, and you have a new book coming out, which we're going to get into today. Richie's also been ranked as one of the top 100 coaches in the world, which is incredible. And he's the host of the Richie Norton podcast, and we could go on and on and on. Incredible family. If one of the things I love about you, Richie, is if you're not impacting the someone in the entrepreneur world or just people in general, you're on some crazy adventure with your family, which I love. What else should our listeners know about you today before we jump into our conversation?
Nothing. They should know nothing about me. No, they should know that they're listening to the right podcast, that you're the man, that I'm super grateful for you, that I've always been inspired. And we live so close to each other, we could throw rocks at each other's houses. It was a good time.
Yeah, that was a good time. I love, we had such a great community there in Arizona. And now Richie calls home in Hawaii. Which island are you on in Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm on the north shore of Oahu. Yeah, okay, so awesome. Where all the big waves are. But as we record this, it's summertime. So it's, you know, basically flat as a lake, and it's just gorgeous. So you do a lot of diving and whatever else, you know, it's magic, always magic. It's so good.
Awesome. Good for you. Well, I appreciate that. I've been really excited about this conversation. I know you and I have always stayed in touch through social media and text and followed up with each other on several things, but I've been just overly excited to chat with you about your new book coming out. Catch us up on the title of the new book, kind of when it's coming out, and what triggered you to really focus on this topic, because time management for me was a game changer for me, and it's something that I kind of constantly be working on, and I just love the title of it. So catch us up on where you're at with the new book.
It does catch people off guard. It's called Anti-Time Management, and I'm holding it for you. I know the listeners can't see it, but it is what it is. And the idea is to stop managing time, start prioritizing attention, and to reclaim your time and revolutionize your results with what I call the power of time tipping. That's a mouthful, but let me explain it. My last book that you're referring to, which I love that you knew where you were when you were reading it, so thank you. That's really cool. It's called The Power of Starting Something Stupid. And I'll tell you some more of my background story, but let me just tell you like real quick, just a little bit of a progression. That book helped people start stupid things. I realized that successful people started things, but it wasn't just that. They started something that someone thought was stupid, or they thought was stupid. They had to overcome things like fear, pride, procrastination. They had to feel like they're living like their true self. I talk about START as an acronym: serve, think, ask, receive, and trust, leverage existing resources, the whole formula, so that you live without regret. Like, take those ideas, do something about it, move forward. But what happened, as you know, is that after I wrote the book, people started reaching out to me to start their stupid idea. So I became the stupid guy. Now you can literally can Google stupid Richie, and I have everywhere, and I'm okay with that. I want to say this like clearly, but not in like a weird way, but it wasn't hard to help people come up with maybe with a product idea, or if they already had it. It wasn't hard to help them figure out how to make it or sell it. It wasn't hard to help them make money, you know, as long as they're willing to do the work and they have the right fit and all that kind of stuff. But what was interesting to me is that when someone became successful with their stupid idea, they weren't necessarily, I don't know if happy is the right word, but the word was they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. And this, I learned this real quick. I've talked to a bunch of people, but what they really wanted, what they thought would come from the success of starting something stupid. what I mean is entrepreneurs will start a business often to get their time and life back, only to lose their time and life into the business.
Yes. It is so true.
And you know, that's fine, but that's the way it's been done for a long time. Like the Industrial Revolution taught us stick and carrot. You're going to work, and then one day you're going to get a reward. In fact, we're going to make you work so long, we're going to call it 40 years, and then you're going to retire, and you can finally get what you want, which has its own problems. As we've moved forward 200 years later, we still use the word time management. And I'm not sure how it got into the self-help vernacular, because time management was never designed to give people their time back, ever, not once. It was designed to control people. Every blood, sweat, tear calculated. This is how you pick up a brick. This is where you put it. These are the motions you use with your arm. If you use different motions, you'll be penalized because it's not fast enough. That was time management. So it's no wonder when you think about it in that context that people start to do these time management things, but feel like they got nothing done at the end of the day, or feel like they still have no time, because it was never meant for you to create time. It just wasn't. This is just facts, though we talk about it that way. So I started realizing, you know what? If the goal really is the goal of the goal, if the success is the success after the success, Aristotle called it final cause, like an acorn becomes an oak tree, then why aren't we baking that carrot, so to speak, in from the start and not endlessly working towards it at the end? Because a lot of times our dreams, when we start with them, by the time we get to a point in our life where we want it, we actually don't want it anymore. It's rotten. I'm just using metaphors here, but times have changed, things have changed, the opportunity is gone. You don't want that anymore, whatever. But ironically, when you bake in what you want from the start, so in this instance, let's say you wanted to bake in time, freedom of time and freedom of location, you wanted to travel. If you were to bake that into the cake from the start, when the cake is fully baked, it will still be there. But we wrongly tell ourselves, I'm going to bake a cake with no sugar, and when it's cooked, there's going to be sugar in it. That's not true. And one more thing is, when we cement systems and think that one day we're going to get out of them to do something else, what we don't realize is that those systems locked us in and we can't free ourselves from them. But if you would have created whatever you wanted at the end from the start, it's the best way to scale your business and be productive, because the biggest bottleneck to your growth is yourself. Get out of the way. So I can go on and give examples. I'll tell you more about my life. But at the end of the day, I wrote anti-time management to solve the problem for people who are actually working towards something that they're actually never going to get because they're waiting for it and putting it at the end of a traditional timeline. And so I show ways, ideas, creative ways of thinking, a whole system, a whole framework of how to get what you want from the start, bake it in from the start, live from the essence of it from the start, so that even if all those projects and ideas and businesses fail, you're still living the dream because you're still doing what you want. Everything else supports it. It's not necessarily leading toward it.
Yeah, I love this. And I think you get this all the time when I'm coaching entrepreneurs and talking to them, and they're feeling friction or pain inside their business. One of the things I like to do is go back to why did you initially get into business? Like, you were passionate around this idea at one point. And almost every time it could be tied back that the thing they wanted at the beginning was, I want more time and more money. And then as they got started, it changed from, I want more time and more money, to they felt like they had to make a choice of, I want more money or more time. And most time they choose, I want more money. So I'm going to put all of my time and energy into this and really let my personal time be pushed aside. And I always go back and be like, it's not a choice between more money and more time. Or more time. There's a way to have both if you can learn how to manage your life in a way. And I love that analogy of baking a cake with the sugar in it from the beginning.
Yes, it doesn't have to be a time. Often the time trade-offs that we create are actually time traps. So we think we're going to do this to get this, but it's not true. And so we stay here for a long time, trapping ourselves, right?
Yep.
So like, as you know, my brother-in-law passed away when he was 21. He was living on and off with us in Hawaii for like 5 years. A few years later, you know, our baby boy, he caught what's known as pertussis, and he ended up passing away, which is your worst nightmare as a parent. And when those two things happen pretty close together, my wife, Natalie, and I started thinking about at least a little more closely to what is actually important. What is actual purpose? What are we actually doing? So I started living my life differently around those ideas. You know, and then I wrote the book, The Power of Starting Something Stupid. We had some amazing foster children in our home. You know them and met them. And, you know, we hoped to, you know, adopt them. And they ended up going back to Bio Mom, which was, you know, great. And in other ways, really hard, you know. And I just realized, man, time, you know, like time, it, who we're spending it with, what we're doing. And as I look back, like, I don't want to regret how I spent my time and who with. Later, my wife had a stroke and lost her memory. It came back. And then when my sons got hit crossing the street on a highway by a car, and he should be dead or paralyzed or something, but he's not. He's okay. So we're fortunate in that way. But when I look back at these string of things that happened, I thought, you know, does God hate me or something? Like, what's going on here? And, you know, it's like objectively, like, that didn't actually happen to me. It happened to people I love, people that I care about. So there's that. And also, they're not necessarily connected to each other. They're all just things that happen. But they are connected by my consciousness, by my experience, and also how I react to it. And so I started thinking, you know what, just keep your faith in God and have unconditional love, and then do your part to like assign meaning to the things that are happening and live your best life. So when I wrote Anti-Time Management, I started thinking of ways I could help other people, regardless of their income level and regardless of their situation, put what they really want first. I call it creating the castle, and then creating the moat, the things that support the living of that dream or that castle, which is the opposite of traditional time management, which is more of a ladder. I'm going to start at the bottom. I'm going to work my way up one wall. And even though life is multidimensional, I have other things, they're not a part of me until I get my 2 weeks off, or until I retire, or until I go on vacation, or until. And the reason this book is so revolutionary, you know, like to me is there's never been a better time to do it. Like, it's the 21st century. Things have totally changed. The pandemic completely changed the way we work, where we work, how we work. And when you can change how you're paid, you can completely change your life, so that even when terrible things happen, as they've happened to me and has happened to our, you know, listeners and to you or to others, even as they happen, it gives you the space to make decisions that allow you to prioritize your purpose and not put it last.
Yeah, I man, you were using some killer analogies right now. And it's, I think I there's a law that I heard several years ago that I really love, and I quote it all the time, that says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I love that in the title of your first book. And I love that. And the first thing I thought of was this quote when I read the title of your new book is, time management is thrown around all the time in the entrepreneur space, but anti-time management is exactly this, is if you change the way you look at time management, anti-time management, the things you look at change. So all of a sudden my whole perspective, and I haven't even read the book yet. I can't wait to get my hands on it. It's like,
you're awesome.
I'm already thinking through how have I been thinking about time management incorrect? And I love where you're going with this.
Well, I do share a bunch of stuff in there, but let me give you just a quick example so people can make this real. Please. For entrepreneurs. I had a guy who's making $250,000 a year, reaches out to me, he's an accountant, and he tells me that he wants his time back. And I'm like, cool, what are you going to do? And he says he's going to start a gym. In fact, he's going to start two gyms, and it's going to take 5 years for them to become profitable. I'm like, if you can, you know, if you have enough runway, you can do that. Great, whatever. But he told me he wanted to have time, you know? So I'm thinking, so I asked him, like, so who's going to open the doors in the morning and who's going to close them at night? Who's going to be worrying about, you know, what's going on there? And he said that he would. And I'm like, okay. But he told me he also wanted to spend like 2 months out of the year in Italy with his family and all this stuff. So I'm thinking through this and I say, how old are your kids? And he goes, 13 and 15. I said, hold on. So you're planning, here's the hard part for entrepreneurs to hear. You're planning. You are planning on waiting 5 years to have time with your children in abundance and freedom of choice and do whatever you want. You literally premeditated this situation. And your kids are going to be 18 and 20 by the time you're ready. Now, I said it nicer to him, of course. I'm just emphasizing here.
Right.
But it drove it home. I said, you know, you can still do the gym. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter if it's a pencil factory or if it's a gym. It's not even, at some point, it's not about how much you make, but it's about how you work that makes a difference between having time and choice and availability or not. So like he could hire a manager to run the gym and be done. He could have done those ones that go in 24/7 card, nobody's there, it's all automated. So what? You know, he could have done an online fitness thing instead. Does it have to be brick and mortar? See, once you identify what you actually are trying to create, so in his case, 2 months out of the year, traveling with his family and more time with his kids, then you can actually create the means to make it happen inside however you work, whether it's you're an executive, an employee, or an entrepreneur. So the same two gym owners, so to speak, could be doing the exact same thing, making the same amount of money, but one has all the freedom and time in the world and the other is going crazy because he's so busy. How is that possible? It's just a matter of baking in that time from the start, because then it creates what's called in psychology, forcing functions. So you create solutions based on these positive constraints that you've applied to yourself. So like before we started recording, you mentioned those three things that I shared with you at some point in time. Those, you tell us, what does it say? What does it say?
So just to get the backstory on it, Richie and I were talking. I'm trying to think, it was probably 2 years ago, you and I had this conversation. Yeah. You had no idea that I've been carrying these three things with me for the last couple of years. And
makes me so happy.
The conversation you and I were having at the same time was much around this same thing before the anti-time management was even created. But it was like, all right, I am succeeding at a high level and I'm loving what I've built. And I'm also building my own prison around me a little bit, right? Of like, I love what I'm doing. I love the impact I'm having. And I'm not necessarily have the ability to spend the time I want to. And so through that conversation, you coached me to say, hey, for every opportunity you're going to take on, it really should live within these three guidelines. One is it low overhead? Because low overhead gives me the ability to be nimble. Is it low people drama? If there's low people drama around it, that sucks energy and life out of me to give time and energy to people that are drama. And can I do it for my cell phone? Meaning, can I be mobile? Can I, because I share a love of travel like you do, is can I be anywhere in the world and be able to run this opportunity? And so for me, those three things have stuck with me, that every opportunity that's coming up is like, do I have the ability to build this in a way that lives within these three constraints?
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now I'm interviewing you. Did you put it into play? Did it change anything?
Yeah, it actually did. So if you look at my long-term vision, and just to be clear, inside my world, there still is overhead. There still is some people drama. But there's a pathway of creating and leveraging myself in such a way that the overhead may not be my daily responsibility. The people drama may not be my daily responsibility. So I've taken a lot of control of my time back.
Yes.
But the biggest way for me that it's been impactful is that, and I tell entrepreneurs this, is you continue to get success, you create this snowball effect where people are bringing me deals and opportunities on the daily, right? And as a younger man, I was a yes man. Yep, I'll make it happen. Yep, I'll make it happen. And now I'm saying, wait, before I say yes, does it pass these three criteria? And if the answer is no, then it's not in alignment with my long-term vision.
Yes. Yes. It's so good. And you're baking it in. It doesn't have to be 0 to 100 overnight. You start and then you start changing things. So like the cell phone thing, you know, the reason that was powerful for me, because I figured, even though I'm tethered to my cell phone, I get it. And so I have to choose when I pick it up and not, I get that. But the fact that I told myself, I'm going to be able to work for my cell phone. I'm talking, this is like before Facebook. This is like before 2004 when I started doing this. This is when it was really hard to do this, you know?
Yeah.
But it wasn't, the fact that I had it wasn't hard. The decision wasn't even hard. It was, what happened was, I mentioned that forcing function. It forced me to create ways to get it done from my cell phone, or asking, like you're saying, delegating, outsourcing, eliminating things to get it done. That's the idea of a positive constraint. Like, if you tell yourself, think about it this way. Think about a student, college student who procrastinates. You know, I believe that no one's more productive than a procrastinator with an impending deadline, right? Like they're going to get it all done. So you move the world overnight to get something done. Why can't you use that power to get things done? Use the power of procrastination, I guess, even whatever your way of working is. Why can't you use it to your benefit? If you already know that you have these certain constraints, what I'm trying to say is, like, specifically, if you wanted to crowd out the distractions in your life, but still get work done, put your family and your time and your personal fitness and your mental health and all your travel, literally fill up everything with it, because the work still has to get done. This will force you around it to find ways to do it faster, better, cheaper, more effective, all that stuff. They see, you know, Parkinson's law, work expands the amount of time given.
Yeah.
That's what procrastinators do. So in that sense, it's a full calendar is an empty life. You've poured into your calendar all this stuff that you feel like you have to do that you don't want to do, and left no time for living. Doesn't mean I'm anti-calendar. I would just say pour in your life into the calendar and create work that supports it.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing up the calendar. This is one of my favorite tactics with people when I start coaching them, and they tell me, oh, my family's my priority. I love this, spending time at this hobby. And then I ask, like, let's see your calendar. And guess what's their calendar's full of? Business tasks, right? These are all my obligations. I'm like, I don't see anything on here for your family. I don't see anything on here for your hobbies. I don't see anything on here for your travel. Where I pull up my calendar and say, let's go out for the next year. And they see every one of my vacations. They see every one of my date nights with my wife. And sometimes I get a little bit of a pushback on that. Like, you have every date night with your wife already on your calendar. That feels like too forced. I'm like, if I don't plan on that first and make it a priority, I'm going to let my business world will fill that space up.
Yeah. And it seems illogical, but the same work you would need to get done still gets done.
Yes.
Maybe even in a better way, or earlier or faster. Like, you know, when you're preparing for a trip, you get a bunch of stuff done before you go, like, all that stuff happens. But then you also create systems with people and software that handle it for you. So now you can almost double yourself, because you're out playing. Now you have your work completed in one way. You can plug in your other projects into that work, and all of a sudden you have 10 projects and you're still playing. How is that possible? It's possible. You know?
I think that is what people have to embrace, is it's possible. Because I feel like a lot of times, if someone's in the hamster wheel and they feel overwhelmed, they feel that pressure, they'll nod to this idea and say, yes, I love that. That makes sense. I want that, but I don't have the time to implement. I don't have the time to embrace that. Right.
Yeah.
And so how do you get from, because I think you line up 100 entrepreneurs that are in the hustle right now, all 100 of them will say, yes, I need to understand how to use my time better. I need to prioritize my time. But only a handful of them will actually make the effort and evolve into someone that does that.
Okay. So I would just say I would say, don't prioritize your time, prioritize your purpose. And I know purpose can be woo-woo, but what I mean is, like, the goal of the goal. Because if you start with time, you start finding, okay, I'm a student of a mentee of, like, Stephen Covey, right? He would say, and Stephen M. R. Covey, his son, they say things like, you know, begin with the end in mind. But what people get confused is they didn't say begin with means in mind. End in mind is the end in mind. People think the end is a goal. So start coming up with all these different strategies and tactics to achieve this goal. But like with my book, The Power of Starting Something Stupid, it wasn't the company that they wanted to start. It was the freedom that they wanted.
Yes.
So begin with the end in mind, not means in mind. Think beyond the goal. Think beyond the habits.
Yes.
Goals and habits and strengths are tools. They're not ends unto themselves. They're tools. Their habits are all the rage. Tools.
Yeah, something you said that kind of clicked in my head there as an aha is, and I love this, that don't prioritize the time, prioritize the goal. And I think for a lot of people, because we live in a goal setting world, right? People are better at setting goals and big goals business-wise than they ever have, I think. And I think when they look at that, they'll prioritize the goal, which for most entrepreneurs, if you say, what's your goal? They immediately start saying what their business goals are.
Okay.
Make this amount of money, yeah. Sell this amount of product. And
that's right.
Forget that is a means to the bigger goal. Like,
that's right.
Why
that's
do
right.
you want to sell this?
That's
why
right.
do you want to make this much money?
Just ask one more question. What's the goal of the goal? You know, and you might even use like an Olympic person and just go, oh, you know, their goal is to be a gold medalist. But why would some gold medalist person stop in the middle of some track that they're running to pick up somebody? It's because their real goal is to be a good human. Mm-hmm. It's an international thing going on here. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, once you decide who you want to be, you'll know what to do. A lot of people have ruined their lives reaching goals, destroyed them. To me, a goal is something, if you're, a goal is something that you do because it's outside of your experience. If you're doing goals inside of your experience, they're tasks. If you have goals outside your experience, they're goals. You know, they're growth. This is important. So as far as like work-life flexibility goes, because at the end of the day, it's not just don't manage your time. It's how can I live the way I really want to live? How can I not fool myself doing all these things that are never going to work and waste my time, right? So work-life flexibility has, in my opinion, has three parts. It has autonomy, availability, and ability. And you can ask yourself in any part of your life how flexible you are by asking yourself, how autonomous am I in it? How available am I to do it? And how able am I to do it? Meaning they're all going to be different. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, they all might be in different spots. But autonomous would mean like, you know, I can do it. I don't really have to ask anybody, whatever. Mm-hmm. Availability, I mean, we're not, even though we might know how to do it or we might have the ability to say I'm going to do it, we're not always available. These are different grades of flexibility. And the last one, able, this is about your capabilities, how much you can afford, you know, like, are you actually capable of doing this at all? So for example, the other day, this is a bizarre story, but I actually had no idea. My kids were at some auction thing and they bid on a helicopter ride. Okay. And no one, they won. So I had no idea what was going on. So the guy like called early in the morning. He was like, yeah, we're going on a helicopter ride. And it was like two of my boys and then their friend. So I drive them to his house and we go, he lives on the beach and we go in the back and it's just this open, beautiful area, no helicopter. I'm like, I wasn't expecting to see a helicopter. I thought we were going to drive somewhere to see it. I don't know. But then he opens up the shed and wheels out his helicopter. I'm not joking. The back of his house, I had no idea. The guy lives like 5 minutes away. Pulls it out and they fly off and they fly back and they fly. It was amazing. But I started thinking about it and I was just like, look it. I don't know how to fly a helicopter. So I'm not able to fly a helicopter. I'm not capable of flying a helicopter. You know, there's no autonomy. I can decide if I want to do it, but I'm going to have to ask someone to help me. And I certainly don't have one. So in that sense, if I want to go on a helicopter ride, I just outsource it. Hey man, can I go on your helicopter? How much does it cost? Or, you know, or whatever it is.
Yep.
So people aren't realizing is when you want more flexibility, ask yourself, am I autonomous? Am I available? And am I able? And where you're not, you can free it up by eliminating things, delegating things, and outsourcing them. People want to do it all themselves, but you should focus on the things you like and want to do, not just your strengths. Because even if you're good at it, it doesn't mean you like it or want to do it anymore.
I love that. And I think that's a great like litmus test, is you're kind of identifying your criteria, right? Whatever it is, whatever that goal, the goal of the goal is getting clarity on that. In fact, I forgot to tell you this at the beginning of our conversation today too, is I just finished reading The Gap and the Gain.
Yeah.
Which as you know, there's a whole section about you in that book, which I wasn't expecting. It was fun as I was reading that. I was like, what? That's so funny. I'm talking to Richie in like 2 days and I'm reading the book. which incredible book, by the way. I really loved it, but there was a section in that book where it's like one of the things it encourages you to do is to say, like, really outline what is your personal criteria, like what is that end game, like in an ideal world, what are your rules you're living by. And I think this is a great litmus test for those rules of saying, okay, and it's one of the examples they gave is a guy that was like, I want to wear every day. I want to spend my time, I won't only want to wear a watch to know what time it is if I want to know, right? Or whatever it was. But
that's exactly right.
Falls right in line with this.
No, I love that. I love that. Well, I mean, here's an idea then to help people if they want to be like hyper productive and have time, you know, to do what they really want to do. I would ask, like, where do you want to be in 2 years? And this is an important idea, like personally, professionally, in your relationships, what's fun for you? Because once you can identify a few things that are really clear, it becomes your North Star. That becomes your purpose in that sense. And then you can make decisions from that goal, not toward it. Like you said, you have date nights. You're working from that goal, not toward it. That's a very different situation. If you're working toward that goal, you would say, I wish I would have more time with my wife. Working from it, you said, you know what? And you don't have to necessarily calendar it, but the fact that you are, or the fact you said you're going to, means that you're going to make decisions on that night to go out.
Yeah.
It's already done. So when you decide who you want to be, you'll know what to do. So you decide, get your North Star there. And then what happens is you start to really prioritize your priorities. Because ironically, most people put their priority, even though it means first, they put them last. The care at the end of the stick. I'm going to do all this hard stuff and then what I want to do. You have one life to live, man. What the heck? When it can also get done anyway, what are you doing, right?
Yeah.
So now you have your purpose, you have your priorities, and I really believe in projects. Projects are essential because now I'm going to have a project around my person. So this is like keeping my head straight, like going, doing the fitness stuff, like reading these things, personal development, whatever. And I'm going to have like goals for like my family. Like this is my project, with whether you call it a project or not, like this is how I'm gonna spend time with my family, with my spouse, with kids, whatever. This is my professional project. And from that professional project, there might be all kinds of things. Here's how much money I want to make. Here's how I'm going to get there, whatever, whatever. And then like contribution, giving back, fun, things that make you feel alive again, put a project around it. Just imagine if you lived your life in a way where you had all these projects. They're not wild, like you're doing all kinds of different things. It's just your time is aligned with what you really want to do. Because what can happen is you can do what I call project stacking, where one move, one decision, one thought can impact them all. So all of a sudden you say, we're going to go to, I'm just making something stupid up. Actually, this would be amazing. We're going to fly to Big Bear, California, and we're going to have this family retreat. I'm making this up. But in that, you're going to be able to get some personal time and space. You're going to be able to bring your family with you financially. I don't know, maybe do some business stuff and it's a write-off, or maybe you do some sort of event there. Who cares? Like whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, every decision you make allows positive ripple effects into everything you do. So in that sense, like on my cover, I have this prism. The idea is, how is one decision create a bunch of other positive things? But what it also means is, how can I make one decision that stops all the other decisions that I would normally have to make from, coming to me because I eliminated them? This frees up time. Then you can, what I call, work syncing. Now you're how do all these things happen? Whether I'm somewhere in the world, like that's not where work happens. And you start using like these asymmetrical processes where little small decisions make big results. Mm-hmm. So you have all your time and all these things are happening. People ask, what do you do, Richie? And it's just like, I can't tell you, because if I do, you're going to think I'm weird. And I'm weird. I get it. But like, do I tell them I'm an author? Do I tell them that I make over 100 different products at any given time? Do I tell them that I have an editing company for YouTubers that have a million subs or more? Like, do I do coaching, consulting? Do I do podcasts? I don't know, man. I do whatever I want, whenever I want. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's the way, that is the life we live today.
Yeah.
The opportunity to have a freedom environment that you can create is something our parents and our grandparents wish they could have had, you know, and we got to give it to them for leading the way to get us to this point. Like, let's not miss this opportunity. You know, it's here.
Yeah. I love this. And I know this is going to resonate with my community in a big way. And one of the things I just feel inclined to tell people is, this is a, just like any new venture or any new habit that you're going to adopt. This isn't something to just say, oh, this sounds great, I'm going to adopt it. This is, like, for me personally, this is a journey I've been on for several years of trying to better use my time in a way that creates happiness for myself. In fact, I remember 5-6 years ago, I was in Hawaii, and honestly, I was at one of the emotionally most challenging times in my life. And I remember sitting on the beach in Hawaii, and I pulled up my phone, opened a note, and I wrote, the first thing I wrote was, what makes me happy? And I just started writing, like, what really makes me happy? Pull everything else aside. And it is, for the past 5 or 6 years, it is the most read note in my phone that still, I still have to connect with that on a regular basis as I'm making big decisions every single day for my companies. Right. I have to pull that out and say, like, let me reconnect. What does make me happy? And that list,
that's good.
It hasn't changed in 5 or 6 years, because it's that true of what the core is. And that moment of really emotional despair for myself was, what really makes me happy? And if I can stay connected with those, it helps me recommit to this, because it's the world, everything else in the world in that entrepreneurial space is trying to teach you to fall back into the normal way of using time, the normal way of accomplishing things, which really doesn't drive to happiness. It tries to create this idea of future happiness, not happiness today.
That's true. And what's funny is, when people start to, like, if you're thinking 2 years out, what do I want? What you realize is, you can actually make that happen a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 weeks from now. Oh, by the way, most of that stuff I thought I wanted in 2 years, I could do right now. I had a wonderful person reach out to me after hearing me on another podcast. And she's like, we're making over $300,000 a year, but we told ourselves we couldn't do anything until we're making over $1 million a year. I'm telling you, the money thing never ends.
Yeah.
So it's not how much, it's how you spend your time. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, really important stuff.
Agreed. I was in a coaching call earlier today with just an incredible human being inside my organization who was feeling some frustration about our success to this point. And I said, let's back up for a minute. Let's remember when we started working together.
Yes.
And remember what our goal was when we started working together? And she's like, I think so. And we've already crushed that goal of what we thought we were going to have happen. But again, we live in a world where that ideal or that goal, we just keep pushing it out of, like, well, we're making progress now, make it bigger, make it bigger, make it bigger. And I'm like, we're frustrated with our progress, but we've done more than we originally set out to do.
That's such an important thing. We always forget where we came from. You know what I mean? It's such an important thing to see your progress and then be like, wow, what are we doing? That's amazing. No, that's cool, man. There's a lot of ways to do it. And that's the idea, is don't begin with means. You know what I mean? Think of final cause. Let me clarify what final cause is.
Please.
So what it means is, there's these four causes, and they're basically like, you have something, to make it, you have someone to make it, and then it's done. Something like that. It gets pretty technical. It's actually pretty simple. But at the end of the day, when I look at it, they use the example of somebody wanting to make a table. So they'll go, okay, so you need the wood, you need the design, you need an agent, a person to make it, and then you have the table. And I thought, well, that's interesting, but what's the table for? Because if the table is like a legacy family piece, and the table is going to be made different than just some like outdoor quick birthday party thing that's going to be put in the trash or fire later.
Yeah.
Or is it to have a cool, fun dinner with some people that are visiting? Because if that's the case, you don't need a table at all. You can order Uber Eats. So if you think of the metaphor, you go, am I spending all my time on things I don't actually need at all, that I don't even want at all. There's no better way to like anti-time manage, you know, or even just straight up manage your time than to eliminate all the dumb things that you're doing.
Yes.
And still get the result that you wanted. Mind-blowing stuff.
I'm laughing right now because I can't, there's been a couple times in my career where I'm literally halfway through a project that's eating a bunch of my time. And I sit back for a second, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like this isn't the impact that I'm trying to have. And I just spent a bunch of time on it. And it's just like this aha moment of like, you idiot, get reconnected with what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
So Rich, I just really appreciate your time. And I more appreciate just the way you think. You're changing the way entrepreneurs are thinking about their lives, because this is a huge passion of mine. Is I love the hustle. I love the grind. I love the impact of building businesses. It's a big part of my personal mission vision. And I just feel like there's so much information out there that is trying to train entrepreneurs that do it a certain way that is robbing them from happiness now. And I think you're such a thought leader of helping people see that differently. And I just honor you for your work and the impact you're having in the industry.
Thanks, man. Making me feel good. I love that. Appreciate it. You're
good,
awesome.
Good. So as we wrap up, how do our listeners get involved and follow you?
You can go grab a copy of Anti-Time Management on Amazon right now. It's in pre-sale mode, so it'll drop in a little bit, but all the early sales help because it helps the publisher and the distributors know how many are going to be bought, how many to print, where are they going to go. It's actually a pretty big deal. So if you can grab a copy of that, that would mean the world to me. You can get that now. And then go to richnorton.com. On richnorton.com, I have a challenge called the 76-day challenge where I can walk you, you know, so to speak, hand in hand to help you turn your stupid idea into your smart reality. And you can get on my email list. I'm going to have a lot of information, bonuses, and other really cool things happening with anti-time management. Help people do that. So that would be great.
Love it. So for you listeners out there, just so you know, I've already pre-ordered a whole box of these books.
Oh, I love you, bro.
I'm that confident that this is going to be incredible and life-changing. And so what I'd like to offer is the first three listeners that send me a screenshot that you bought the book for you, I'm actually going to give you a copy of the book for you to gift that book to somebody else.
Oh, that's so nice. I love that. Thank you.
Pass this on. It's one of my favorite things to do when I buy an impact or buy a book that's impacted me in a way, is buy a box of them and give them away to people.
No, that's really cool. Yeah. Get the word spreading. And it helps me a ton. So thank you, man. I appreciate that. So cool.
My pleasure. So Enchilada Nation, I hope you guys got a lot of notes from this conversation. If you saw my journal in front of me right now, I've just got pages and pages of notes, huge ahas that came to me today. If I was going to pick one of those ahas today to help you sit and reflect and do some of your own journaling and thought around it, is what's the goal of the goal? I think if you sat down for a couple of minutes and just really thought through, what is the goal of the goal? What am I really trying to accomplish? And then letting that move into some of your other ahas from our conversation today. Let's get clarity on that. And as a community, let's commit to holding each other accountable to really protecting our time, thinking differently about our time, and living our big why, living our passions. Because that's what this community is all about, is doing this together. I'm in no way in front of my people saying, look what I've done, but let's look what we can do together. So let's keep progressing. Enchilada Nation, thanks for plugging in. Don't forget to live life on your terms.